Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the month of Thanksgiving, and it's the last Sunday for the year. So we are entering a new year, but we have the devotional pamphlet, and on it you'd see our end of year prayer and fasting guide. So don't enter the new year spiritually unconscious. You see, God has a plan for your life, and there's a fixed plan for every year. So that's why we pray and we fast. So we'll be praying Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday we meet to cross over gloriously together into the new year. Praise the Lord. So you hear more on that during the announcement. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's a song I want us to sing, but I want to edit two lines in the song. It's very popular. The lines I want to edit, instead of saying, "Let the weak say, I am strong," we would say, "I declare that I am strong." All right? Instead of saying, "Let the poor say, I am rich," we would say, "I declare that I am rich." Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you ready? Do you know the song?
Yes.
Just sitting down, but with your heart towards the Lord.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. We give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. We give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks to the Holy One. We give thanks because His given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now I declare that I am strong. I declare that I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now I declare that I am strong. I declare that I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us.
Hallelujah. Because of what He did, we are strong and we are rich. I am strong and I am rich. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so I want us to look at something this morning that I titled, "A King is Born." A King is Born. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus is our King. Are you guys okay?
Yes, Pastor.
You rise above the weather.
Yes.
So you don't say it's cold. No. You rise above the weather. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. A king is born. Who is that king?
Jesus.
Jesus is king. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
The angels know you're in this place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say,
I'm full of glory.
Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm full of glory.
I'm full of glory.
Say, success is mine.
Success is mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Health is mine.
Abundance is mine.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. John 1 verse 1. Let's quickly go there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I need your heart to be open. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Leave what you're going to do after today's service, or the people you're going to visit, or the things you have to do before Tuesday, and focus on God's word. The Bible tells us of Paul going to preach at Lystra. And while he was preaching, the Bible tells us there was a man who had not walked from his mother's womb, meaning he didn't have an experience of walking. And he didn't know who Paul was. He had never heard of Jesus. So he was just there as an onlooker. Do you understand? Paying attention. So it wasn't like he came for church service expecting to be healed. Do you understand? It wasn't like he knew who Jesus was. People in this side, I need your heart here, this area. Pay attention to me. It wasn't like he knew who Jesus was. But the Bible says, while Paul was teaching, he was paying attention. He was listening to what this man was saying. Maybe in his life, he had never seen a miracle before, but that didn't matter. He was listening. And the Bible says, Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. How did he see it? He could perceive. He saw the man. He was paying attention. Do you understand?
Yes,
he had never walked before. And so Paul said, rise up on your feet. He could have said, he's not talking to me because I've never walked before. But because he was paying attention, he knew when his moment came and he received the word. Are you in this place? So while we're here, pay attention. Pay attention. I was thinking of something this morning. The centurion, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 7 and Matthew 8, how that he came to meet Jesus in Matthew 8 to heal his servant. And Jesus said, all right, I'm coming to heal him. The centurion said, no. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but speak in a word, and my servant will be healed. He believed. If Jesus said healed, it's done. My point is, while you're in this place, pay attention. So when the word comes for you, you get it. Do you understand?
Yes,
pay attention. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, verse 1. Now, just follow this. All right, put your heart here. I'll read it. Look. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was
God.
So he's telling the story. Do you understand?
Yes,
a real story. I'll read it again. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was
God.
Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's some emphasis. He's really trying to get your attention in this verse.
Yes.
He could have said all things were made by him and go to the next thing. But then he emphasizes it. He says, without him was not anything. Was not anything made that was made. As long as it was made, he made it. He says, the same was beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That means something. That means anybody knows something in this world, it will be the word, because he made it. Do you understand?
Yes, Master.
If anybody can explain something to you, if anybody can tell you how this thing functions, how to behave in this world, it should be the word of God, because he made everything. Do you understand?
Yes, Master.
When you make something, you know everything about that thing, because you made it from the scratch. And the Bible is telling us that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Whatever you can think about on this earth, he made it. He can tell you about it. He can tell you what to do to get the best results from the things that he made. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the word of God made all things. Say, the word of God made all things. Say it again. Say, the word of God made all things. And the word of God beautified all things. Do you know this earth is really beautiful?
Yes.
Think about, he could have made it like a dragon's den. I mean, nothing stopped the word of God from making the world really ugly. Do you understand? But when he makes things, he makes them beautiful.
Yes.
He says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So if I want to understand how everything functions, he can tell me. If I want to understand what everything responds to, he can tell me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go to verse 14. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 14. He says, and the Word. Remember, this is the Word that made everything.
Yes.
He says, and the Word was made flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Firstly, this is remarkable. It means every word has the potential to become flesh.
Yes.
When it's flesh, you can touch it. It can touch you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you speak something, it has the potential to become real enough for you to touch it and for it to affect you. If you say every Christmas, I usually fall sick. It becomes flesh and it can touch you. But then you can say something better.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It says the Word was made flesh. So every word you speak has the potential to become flesh. When it's flesh, we can touch it. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
When it's spirit, we can't touch it. When it's flesh, it can touch us. When it's spirit, can it touch us? But the point is, every word has the potential to become flesh. That means you have to be careful with things that you say. If you speak destruction, it can become flesh and touch you, but not me. Success is mine. Are you seeing that? Prosperity is mine. If you speak lack, it can become flesh and what? Touch you, but not me. I live in abundance. Glory to God. He says that the Word was made flesh. This is great. Because this is the Word that made everything. And can tell us how everything functions. Obviously, man doesn't understand everything. They are still, that's why you have research departments in different organizations. Do you understand?
Yes.
That's why they are still innovating. Because they don't understand everything. Because they didn't make everything. But this one made everything. He understands everything. Do you understand?
Yes.
And then he tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means that this Word that made everything started living amongst people. Oh, so by observing his existence, we can understand how things should function because he made everything. Meaning that we can go and, if let's say we lived in Jesus' day and we really believe he made everything, that means any question we have, he can answer. He can explain how everything functions
yes.
to us. So the Word of God made all things. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
When he became flesh, he was called something. What was he called?
Jesus.
What was he called?
Jesus.
What was he called?
Jesus.
You know, someone said in church, people forget. You know, if you ask in class, 2 plus 2 is what? 4 in church, 2 plus 2 to everything. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You talk to people that have ears, maybe at times dogs. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But if you saw a cockroach, you don't talk to it, you kill it. No communication. If you saw a cop, you don't talk to it, you use it. But that's not how Jesus taught. Meaning that there is something he knows about these things that we might not know. Let's start. Go to Mark 4. If your neighbor is sleeping, tell them, wake up. It's Christmas Day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mark 4, verse 39. Say,
I'm alert.
It's Christmas Day.
Christmas
Say
Day.
It again. Say, I'm alert.
It's
Christmas Day.
Christmas
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mark 4, 39. Are you in this place?
Yes,
look, look, look. Stay with me. Look. This is Jesus. And he arose and rebuked the wind. What is wind? Breeze. Air. Air in motion. He rebuked. Do you know what it means to rebuke something? You don't rebuke something. You don't rebuke something that's not paying attention to you or something that cannot respond. Look at this grown man talking to breeze. He rebuked the wind. And then he did what? Said unto the sea. He talked to water. He talked to air.
he talked to water. You see, we didn't grow up learning to talk to air. You don't talk to air. Doesn't have ears. All right? And you don't talk to water. Doesn't have ears. Somehow we thought, growing up, that it's only things that have ears that you talk to. Jesus came and said, no. He said, I'm going to teach you how to have the advantage in life. It might not have ears, but it can hear.
Yes.
So he says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. Why? Because the wind was boisterous, was making noise, was causing trouble. And he didn't hide away from the wind. He thought. Remember, he made the wind. Yes. Meaning that he knows there is something in the wind that can hear. So he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, he talked to the water. After he told the wind, calm down, he talked to the sea and said, peace, be still. And guess what? The wind obeyed. And there was what? A great calm. They responded.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said, I am come that you might have life and have the advantage in life.
Yes.
And now he's telling us that there are things, when things grow turbulent, you can talk to them and they would respond. He rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Let's look at something else. Go to Mark, same Mark chapter 11. Why would you talk to the wind? Doesn't have ears, doesn't have eyes, doesn't have mouth. Normally, looking at it, you do not talk to it. But the one who made it said, and is showing us that it can respond, it can hear, it can obey.
Yes.
Everything can obey.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
Remember what God told Adam after he put him on the earth? He said, subdue it. Meaning everything can obey. All right. Mark 11, verse 12. Let's look at it together. Just look at this. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. So he went to the tree looking for fruit. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto Peter, is that what the Bible says? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And Jesus answered and said to the disciples, is that what the Bible says?
No.
And Jesus answered and said unto it, what's it? The tree. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples what? Heard it. Meaning he didn't go and whisper to the tree. I'm telling you now. No man eat. No, he spoke. Remember, let's see the things he's talking to. He talks to air. He talked to water. He's talking to plants. He said Jesus answered. Meaning he responded to the tree. He felt when the tree said no fruit, the tree was telling him lack. And he was answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. So that means that he, remember, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That means he made the tree.
Yes.
That means he's telling us that when I made this tree, I made it to obey.
Yes.
I made it to respond.
Yes.
But our parents tell us that because they didn't make all things. But he can show us that because he made all things. Let me show you another one. Go to Mark 7. Let's stay with Mark. Mark 7, verse 32. Look at this. Just focus on this screen. Put your mind on the word of God. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Someone who is deaf cannot hear. And this man, maybe he could talk, but it wasn't clear. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So they bring unto him one that was deaf. That means the ears are dead. Oh, dear. And had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitudes and put his finger into his ears. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is what? Be opened. What was he telling to be opened? The ears. How do you talk to deaf ears? I mean, if they are deaf, meaning you don't talk to them. But he's telling you that everything would... everything will respond. These ears don't really matter. They will respond. He says, be opened. Go to verse 35. And straightway, his ears were opened. That means the ears heard. Look at what Jesus has been talking to. He talked to air. He talked to water. He talked to plants. He talked to body parts. Yeah. Meaning you can talk to your body parts. Yes. And everything he talked to responded. Responded. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, there's something in my heart I have to share. The Bible tells us that in Luke chapter 1, the angel had visited Mary, and of course she had, you know, conceived the child. And Bible tells us that she went to meet her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with John the Baptist. And the Bible says, when she came in, she greeted Elizabeth. And the Bible says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what Elizabeth said that was so remarkable. She said, as soon as I heard your voice, the babe leaped inside. Meaning that immediately she heard something, something happened inside. So maybe this man was deaf, but once Jesus said, be opened, something happened inside. Hallelujah. So he talked to air. He talked to water. He talked to plants. He talked to body parts. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 16. Someone says, you know, the ears can hear, so let's do surgery. Let's do surgery. No. No. Everything can respond. Everything can obey. Are you in this place? Verse 16. And the evil was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that were sick. Go to verse 31. So the devils besought him. So this devil started begging Jesus, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. So they are begging Jesus that if you want to cast us out, we are not arguing. Just let us go into those pigs. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 32. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. Notice, he talked to spirits. And they responded. So he talked to air. He talked to water. He talked to plants. He talked to body parts. Someone says, all these things are flesh that we can see. Then he talked to spirits. So he talked to the one you can see. And he talked to the one you cannot see. And everything he talked towards responded. Let's see another one. Go to Luke 4, verse 38. Are you in this place?
Yes,
Luke 4, verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother, that means Simon's mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Verse 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. He didn't talk to the woman. He talked to the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So he talked to spirits, he talked to sickness. I said, nothing was off limits when it comes to Jesus talking. He talked to things we can see, talked to things that cannot be seen. He talked to spirits, he talked to sickness. He rebuked the fever, meaning he told the fever, fever, get out. And the fever obeyed. Oh my goodness. Meaning if Jesus was in the presence of malaria, he would talk to the malaria. He will not talk about the malaria. He won't say, you know, this malaria is very serious. You know, this malaria is affecting my eyes. He will talk to the malaria. And the malaria would obey. He said, I came to show you how to live life in a superior way. That means he thought the way men have been living their life has been inferior. They didn't have the advantage. So he said, listen, I'm coming to give you the advantage. And as we're looking at his life, we're seeing the advantage. Whatever he faced, he talked to and they responded. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Go to Luke 7, verse 12. Luke 7, verse 12. If you're here, say, I'm making progress.
I'm making progress.
Those of you in the middle and back, please pay attention. Say, I'm moving forward.
I'm moving forward.
Say, my heart is open.
It's open.
And don't be distracted. Listen. Why? Listen, when you're in church, at times you're sitting down, someone gets up, or someone's going down. Leave them. You're not a police officer. So don't be monitoring what's happening. I was, no. Do you understand? You came for God's word. Pay attention to the word. So if someone is getting up, you don't know why they're getting up. Because let me tell you something. I said, your word might come and you might not be paying attention. And Satan is so tricky that it's when your word might be coming that someone will try to distract you. But you refuse to be distracted. Focus on the word. Are you in this place? Focus on the word. You know what Jesus told Martha? He told Martha that Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. He said Mary was listening to the word of God, and that was the good part. The other part she should have chosen, but she chose the good part. She listened. So in church, pay attention. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Now when he came now to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. This guy was dead. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. So we're going to bury her. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Don't cry. Hallelujah. Don't cry. He says, and he came and touched the bear, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. The man was dead. You know, the guy who's deaf, maybe by looking at Jesus, can figure out what he's trying to say. This man was dead. Everything that can receive anything was dead, was gone. Jesus acted as though that didn't matter.
Yes.
Are you noticing?
Yes,
he acted like it didn't matter. They were carrying the guy to bury him, and Jesus talked. He didn't talk to them. He didn't talk to the mother, except telling her, hey, don't bother. Don't cry. He talked to the dead body as though he was alive. He said, young man, I'm telling you, get to... Oh. He says, I'm telling you, get up. Let's see what happened. Verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. He talked to air. He talked to water. He talked to plants. He talked to body parts. He talked to spirits. He talked to sicknesses. He talked to dead bodies. And everything he talked to responded. Everything he talked to obeyed. That's a king. That's a king. When a king speaks, there is power. Everything will have to obey. Are you in this place? Anybody can say anything, nobody listens. But if it's a king that says stand, you must stand. Hallelujah. This king, even if you're dead, if he tells you stand, you must stand. What a king. What a king. But then, in living this life, he begins to tell us that anybody can do this. It is not limited to him. He begins to show us that actually, everything was made to respond to words. Everything was made to obey the word. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11. Let's start from verse 23. So when we say a king is born, it wasn't just because there was a crown on his head. There was no crown on his head when he was born. It was because when he lived on this earth, he lived like a king. There might not have been a coronation ceremony for him on TV, but he subdued everything. Everything obeyed him. Everything recognized his kingship. Now look at Mark 11, verse 23. Let's read it together, one to go. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. There's a word I want you to pay attention to. He says, whosoever shall talk. Meaning anybody who talks will get a response. He says, whosoever shall say, he shall have whatsoever he said. So it doesn't matter who it is. He said, you know, this is actually how God made the world and everything in it. Because he says, nothing was made without him. So everything in the world was made to respond to words. Now look at what he's telling you here. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now, of course, you might not talk to a physical mountain. You will not find one in Lagos. Are you in this place? But this mountain can also mean challenges. So he's telling you that you can talk to challenges and they will dissipate. Are you in this place? You know what he's telling you? He's telling you you're a king. That's what he's telling you. He's telling you you can talk to something and it will obey. God's idea, Jesus' idea is if you are in the presence of a challenge, one thing would have to give way and it should not be you. Are you in this place? One thing would have to move and it should not be you. You are the one to king in that situation. You are the one to show that you are the king and you tell it go and it will go. So when challenges come, you have to decide who is the king. Will the challenge be the king? And then you start crying and you hide somewhere. No! Jesus said, you talk to it and it will obey. Because he came as a king and the Bible says he has made us kings. So his birth, a king was born so that we can be born again and become kings unto God. Go to Revelation 1 verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 5. He says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first God of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So look at it, says Jesus is the prince of the kings of the earth. What king is talking about? Is he Bale or Oba? Someone said the Bale in Lagos, Jesus is the prince. What are you talking about? You find out, verse 6. He says, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He is the prince of the kings, and I'm one of them. And one of the kings. And he's like teaching us how to live as kings. Because he lived as a king on the earth. He reigned over situations. Nothing, everything. Jesus' mindset, everything has to obey. Whether dead or alive, it has to obey. Whether seen or unseen, it has to obey. And he was showing us how to live life. So don't say, the people that oppress me, I can't see them. Listen, speak the word, they would have to obey. Because you are a king. Do you understand? Listen, when we say we are kings, it's not something we just claimed. The Bible says, he made us. So if you talk to that water, for example, and it says, who gave the authority? The Bible says, God, the king of all kings, has made us kings. That means you have the authority to speak and they would obey. Are you in this place? Let me show you something. Go to Romans 5 verse 17. Romans 5 verse 17. We would end. After this, I'll share a story and then we'll pray. Romans 5 verse 17. Hallelujah. Yes. I said we're about to end, right? Yes, that means pay attention to everything. These few minutes, pay attention. I want us to read it together. All right? One, two, go. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Who is the one man? Adam. It says, because of Adam's offense, death reigned. You know what that means? Death reigned. It means that death did not take permission before it took someone. And that's something we observe. You can see someone maybe on TV or in the morning, maybe a neighbor, God forbid, not yours. And, you know, they tell you, bye-bye, buy something, oh, all right. Then you hear they are dead. What does that tell you? It means they didn't plan to die. Death came without their permission and took them. Meaning death was king in that situation because kings don't ask permission. Kings just reign. Are you in this place? Yes, so he's saying the reason why people die without planning to. Even though the guy has made his will, he's planning that in the next 20 years he'll become active. But then he dies without planning to because death reigns. Death doesn't need permission.
Death just shows up and takes someone. Someone can just be laughing, laughing, and dies. Someone slept and dies. Someone is talking, have a heart attack and dies. No permission. Why? Because death is king. But look at it. He says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Who are those who have received abundance of grace? Who have received the gift of righteousness? He says he expects you to reign in life. Just like death shows up in life without permission and takes someone, he expects you to also reign in life. Meaning that whatever is troubling you, you can win over that situation. You can talk to it and it will obey. And you have to understand, one of the most vital verses I've shared here is that he has made us kings. And when kings talk, something must be done. Do you understand? He has made us kings. I have a story I want to share with you. In the book of Esther, the Bible tells us that, I'm done, so pay attention to my story. The Bible tells us that Haman was a prince. So one of those appointed princes that the king had around him. So he was a prince, but he wasn't the king's son. Do you understand? He was just a prince, like a leader in the empire. And the Bible tells us that Haman was told by others that there is a man, anytime you pass, he doesn't bow down to greet you. Because Haman was a prince, so the idea is anytime Haman is passing, for example, if Haman came here and he's passing, everybody will have to bow down and greet him. Do you understand? And you keep bowing down until he goes. So everybody does it, except one man. Haman didn't even notice. It was those with him that said, have you noticed that this guy, Mordecai, he doesn't bow? Like some of you, you just noticed that, you know, when you come to your compound, everybody greets you except that woman. Everybody greets you except that woman. So at the time you pass, doesn't greet. You pass again, doesn't greet. Say, good morning, oh. You understand? So those with Haman noticed it. And they brought attention. They said, did you notice that everybody bows down and greets you except Mordecai? And Haman was so angry. He was so angry. And then, you know, they found out from Mordecai, why don't you bow down to greet him? Mordecai said, I'm a Jew. I only bow down to the Lord God Almighty. I don't bow down to man. And Haman was so furious. So furious. The Bible says he planned not just to kill Mordecai. He thought that was too small. So Timothy said he was a Jew. And Jews only worship God. He's going to kill all the Jews because he was so angry. All right. So he had planned it. But he didn't know that the king's wife was a Jew. Maybe if he knew she was a Jew, he would not have tried. Do you understand? Because imagine if you want to, you know, deal with everybody in your compound, but you don't know that one of your neighbors is actually the owner of the compound. So he didn't know. But Mordecai had told Esther that this is what this man is planning to do. So Esther had a plan. Pay attention to this. And the Bible says that Esther invited Haman for a banquet. And her husband was there. Even her husband didn't know she was a Jew because he didn't care. He just wanted a wife. Didn't matter where she was from. So Haman was there. Esther was there. Her husband, the king, was there. And so the king said, you've called for this banquet. What do you want? And Esther said, there's a man that wants to kill me and my people. And I want you to do something about it. And the king said, who is that person? How can that person exist? And Haman was there, probably nodding his head, not knowing that he was there. And then Esther said, this man, Haman, is the one that wants to kill me and my people. And the Bible says, when the king heard that, he was so angry, he left the building. He went to receive fresh air. When Haman found out that he was the person the queen was talking about, and that obviously the king has planned evil for him, the Bible tells us something. Go to Esther chapter 7. I just want to show you the power of a king. Esther 7 verse 7. Now, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath went to the palace garden. That means Esther had told him that it was Haman, and he was so angry. He went to the garden to receive fresh air. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. So Haman stood up to beg the queen, to plead with the queen, to do something. Are you in this place? Verse 8. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was falling upon the bed where Esther was. Now you have to understand the scene. The king went out because he was so angry with this man. Maybe not sure what to do. Do you understand? And he comes in. When he goes out, Haman goes to, because they didn't sit on chairs, they sat on beds. So Haman went to where the queen was lying to beg her. But the king came in and saw Haman on the bed with Esther. See what he said. Then said the king, "Will you force the queen also before me in the house?" Listen. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. The power of a king. They understood what he meant. Do you understand? He didn't have to say, "Kill him." No. He said, "Will you force the queen before me in the house?" Immediately he spoke, something happened. They removed that obstruction. They removed that annoyance. He has made us kings. Immediately you speak. Are you in this place? He has commanded all things to obey. That hindrance will be removed. Immediately you talk. But if you don't talk, nothing would happen. So he came as a king and lived as a king. And then he showed us how to live as kings, because he has made us kings. Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now as a king, what does that mean? It means that everything is in your hand. You know, the thing with kings is that you make the final call. You can look for advice, but you make the final call. So if he made you king, that means he has kept everything in your hand. Meaning that if your body part is not functioning well, he's not expecting you to pray to him, especially to talk to your body parts. Because he showed you that body parts can be talked to and they would obey. Are you in this place? So if your head is paining you, he's not expecting you to go and say, "Lord, please, my head is paining me." He's expecting to talk to the head. Listen, most times what Christians do, some of them, is they talk about their problem. If there was a degree, some people will have PhD. There are people that anytime you meet, there's a problem you're talking about. If it's not their neighbor today, it is money. If it's not money, it's the car. If it's not car, it's that woman. If it's not that woman, it's someone in the village. They are always complaining about a problem. And they might actually have the problem. But Jesus did not say talk about the problem. He said talk to it. That's the difference between a king and someone who is not a king. Someone can complain, complain, complain. The king talks to the situation. And something has to be done. So he has made you king. Meaning that he has said, listen, if the issue is water, to the water. Listen, do you know God's word can be proven?
Yes, Pastor.
If it is God's word, it will work.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes, Pastor.
One last scripture, John 7. Hear from Jesus himself. If it's God's word, it will work. So if God tells you, talk to it. Talk to it. God's word can be proven. John 7. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Saying, what I'm telling you is God's word. It's not my word. It's not my idea. All right? Verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He said, if you do what I say, you will know. Whether it is God that said it or whether I'm talking of myself. Meaning that if it's God that said it will work, you would know. If it's someone that is talking of themselves, nothing will happen. If he tells you he has made you a king to talk to every situation, talk to the situation. Because it is God's word, it will work.
Yes,
are you in this place?
Yes,
note, maybe you have been complaining. Maybe you have been telling people what you have been hoping for. You know, you can be complaining about a situation. You can be telling people what you are hoping for. I'm hoping that this thing will be solved. I'm hoping you have still not talked to it. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You can be telling people that I believe my God will do it. You have still not talked to it. He said he has made you king. That situation, talk to it. And God's word would work. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for your word that you have shown me. Thank you for who you have made me. Are you in this place?
Amen.
Say, thank you for who you've made me. Victorious. A king. Reigning in life. Thank you. Because I have received abundant grace. The gift of righteousness. And I'm reigning in my world. My body hears my voice and functions to the glory of God. My finances hear my voice and express the glory of God. My future hears my voice and it is ordered according to the will of God. Thank you, Father. Just go ahead and speak.